Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
Thank you. We're going to hear a slightly tongue-in-cheek, perhaps a recollection or a reflection on the after effects of what happened at Pentecost.
Must have been some party you had here, Mrs. Bach. Whew, that ceiling ain't just scorched, it's burnt right through. See, here, here, and here. Must have been a dozen great patches. What were you doing? Fire eating? Downright lethal. Lucky you didn't start a major fire. Your young man and his friends, was it? You'd hardly credit what they get up to these days. I met him on the stairs. Seemed like a quiet young chap. There, you never can tell. If you were mine, I'd really lay into him. But that's not half of it, as you well know. I've worked out an estimate, and you're not going to be happy. I've given it to you straight. You've got major structural damage. Anyone in Jerusalem will tell you that we're an honest firm. I'm not talking up the problems. Get a couple more quotes if you like. Doubt whether you'll see fairer. Watch yourself, Mrs. Bach. That floor could go any minute. Party, did I say? More like an earthquake. Well, good luck with the assessors, because you're going to need it. No word of a lie, this house has been shaken to its foundations. And how can you explain it? What was it? Rodents? Rot? Upset a few Romans? Someone started a demolition job and we might have to finish it. I mean, look at those cracks. Nasty. Really, really nasty. Tell you what I'll do. I'll send a couple of my fellows to shore you up. I'm promising nothing, mind. Once we start major repair work, you could see a whole load-bearing wall coming down. Never seen anything like it in my life. You're not going to forget this in a hurry. I reckon this place will never be the same again. I can come round and drop an estimate in tomorrow. Would that suit you?
Thank you, Mr. Architect. We celebrate the birth of Jesus, and the world, most of the world, stops for Christmas. We send each other Christmas cards and give presents and have trees. We celebrate resurrection, and lots of people understand what that's about, even if they celebrate with Easter eggs and bunnies or springtime chicks. But this Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, the third in the trinity of big festivals of the church. And I just wonder how many people outside the doors of this church understand or know that it's Pentecost this Sunday. It's a day that's really important because Pentecost was the birthday, the beginning of the church. God's given us a wonderful opportunity to be part of the church, and we celebrate that on Pentecost. We heard the story where God comes in flame and in wind, and people are given the miraculous ability to speak in different languages. We heard in our passage that some people thought that these people were drunk, speaking in different languages and so full of something that they said, "Aren't these people drunk?" I said, "Well, no, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning." But that tells us something about the spirit of excitement and overflowing joy that must have been present that Pentecost. I like the story that's told of three prospectors who'd found gold in California in the gold rush days. They realised that they'd found this vein of gold and that no one else knew about it. And so they thought, right, we'll keep this a secret. So off they go to town to file their claims and to get the equipment necessary to mine this gold. But they didn't say a word to anyone. They filed their claim, they bought the equipment, they headed back to their mine. And when they did, a crowd of people followed them. And the reason was because of the expression on their faces. It had given them away. Their faces were aglow of the anticipation that they would soon be very wealthy and it would soon be theirs. And they gave themselves away because people realised that, hang on, there's something going on here. Let's follow them. And so the crowd followed them out of town. And there's another story of a similar vein that's told of a little boy in church, sitting in church with his mum, a good little boy, as all children who come to church are, quiet and well-behaved, didn't cause any problems at all. But once in a while, every so often, he would stand up in the pew, turn around and look at the people behind him and smile at them. And that's infectious. I know when on a Sunday morning when little Joshua's running up and down, sometimes he comes up and holds my hand. Nobody's looking at me anymore. The whole congregation are going, all looking at the small child. Because children have got the ability to do that. This little boy is smiling at the rest of the congregation. And soon everyone behind him smiles back, because you do that when a child smiles at you. It was all going fine until his mother realised what the little boy was doing and smacks him on the back of his legs. Makes him cry. That's better. Sit down. You're not meant to be enjoying church, she said. Well, Pentecost reminds us that actually you are meant to be enjoying church, because God comes in a way that brings joy and overflowing in his presence. There are three things I want to remind us of about Pentecost today. Pentecost is, as I said, the birthday, the beginnings of the church. Church was created by God. Sometimes we think, well, Simon Peter may have called a church meeting with the other apostles. They might have had minutes. They might have said, well, let's have a motion. Who would like to start a church? All those in favour, please show. It didn't start like that. Ted read us these words. Suddenly, the sound of the blowing of a violent wind came. Where from? From heaven. God decided that this was the time his church was to start. God's idea to bring the church into being. Why? Well, I think the purpose of the church is to communicate the love of God. And Pentecost Sunday, Pentecost, is all about communication. It's all about people hearing what God wanted them to know. Because in Jerusalem gathered, there were all sorts of different people gathered together from different tribes and different tongues. And so God said, thinks to himself, how am I going to let all these different people in one go know about the saving message of Jesus? And so he performs a miracle, gives the Holy Spirit to the church, and people begin speaking in different languages. People from a long list of nations, of places that we can't pronounce, and that's why Ted did the reading. Different languages, different tribes, different tongues, all of a sudden could hear in their own language the message that God loved them and wanted a relationship with them. Pentecost is all about the communication of the message of the gospel. And that's our job as the church, to continue the Pentecost story on. God gives the church a Holy Spirit moment so that all could hear and understand that God loves them, that God wants to know them, that God wants to forgive them, and God wants a relationship with them. And that message still happens today. We might not all be given different tongues to speak in, apart from Yorkshire or Welsh, or, but the work of communication still happens. The Bible is still being translated into different tongues. That's a Pentecost communication continually happening. We use different methods to reach different people. That's continuing the points of Pentecost, a story of Pentecost today. And that purpose is still our purpose, that God still wants the world to know, every tribe and every tongue, that they are loved and known and needed in his kingdom. And so he commissions us still to be people who communicate that story. That's why, you know, we're praying for those who don't know Jesus, because that's still our job today. That's why we're praying for those 5 people or 10 people, or if you can't think of 5, I'll give you some to pray for. That's why we're still doing that, because the job's not finished. There are lots of people who don't know how much God loves them. And we who have the message need to share it. That's the point of Pentecost. We are saved if we have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Saviour by what Jesus did on the cross. I think God expects us as Christians to communicate that to others. We are the church. And the church was born at Pentecost. If we were to continue on with the reading that we heard, after this amazing thing that happens, Peter then gets up and preaches the sermon of his life. He tells them the gospel again. It must have been a good sermon, because we're told that 3,000 people gave their lives to Christ when they heard it. I'd love there to be 3,000 people here on any given Sunday. I think we might need more chairs. I don't think we'll fit 3,000 chairs in there. So suddenly, we have a church. 3,000 people accepting Jesus and sharing something that they've not shared before. Suddenly, we've got a new society, a new community of people who can learn and grow together, who can be honest together, who can learn what it is to walk a faith in Jesus Christ in every day. That's the point of the church. And we're told that they didn't stay at 3,000. They grew to 5,000 and then into multitudes as the message spreads throughout Jerusalem. Because more and more people were attracted to this message of a God who loved them wherever they came from. And there was something about this group of people together that was infectious, and people wanted to join in. It was different from anything else they'd seen. And I think the church should always be different from anything else that the rest of the world sees. We are to be a different people, a different culture, an oasis in the midst of a desert, a place to come and know that whoever you are loved. Wherever life has brought you, that God does not reject you, and that whoever you are, you will be accepted and loved and given a place in the family of God. Pentecost tells us that. The world changes after Pentecost because of the church's influence on the world. And that's still our calling today. Pentecost reminds us that God says all are welcome. Because the church says our doors are open. So we can come, all of us, knowing that here is a place of welcome. Here is a place where we don't have to pretend. Here is a place where we can be ourselves, warts and all. We find ourselves loved and accepted and challenged and changed, because that's the point. So, we are invited to be reminded of that welcome and that love shown so powerfully at Easter and continuing into Pentecost. Of a message of love that all are welcomed and all are challenged to give their lives to Christ, who forgives us of our sin and gives us new life.